Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. There's Levi. Curious as can be. Okay, as you're turning, if you could stand in the honor of reading God's Word, I've entitled this God's School. God's School. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, but those that are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the living God, it is going to be we are in a school, God's school. Starting in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 6. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him, Joseph, of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." Verse 4. "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had." In other words, he had no idea really what he had, what Joseph was taking care of, because he trusted him. And then it goes on to say, "save the bread which he did eat." And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would take the word of God and speak to us. Lord, that you would use it to help us understand that we can trust in you no matter what kind of situation we find ourselves in. It could be the darkest, dreariest times, a time that we would look forward and there'd be no hope. Or we could be on that mountaintop. But Lord, one thing for sure is you're with us through it all. And you can have us prosper no matter what, if we will trust you, believe in you, and allow you to guide our steps. And I pray that you bless this to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Joseph finds himself in the house of Potiphar. He is a captain of the guard of who guards Pharaoh. So he's a trusted man. And now we find Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers to the Ishmaelites and the Midianites. And what they did, now these people were, these were businessmen. These guys, they traded in things. They had caravans, and they went hither and yon to sell their wares and to kind of buy and sell and whatnot. And this happened in chapter 37. But so he's in this caravan of the Ishmaelites, and they come into Egypt. Now, Joseph he's a slave. He is not his own now. These people own him, for 20 pieces of silver, which was the going price for a young man, a young slave of 20 and under. If you were over 20, it was 30 pieces of silver. And Joseph was with the people who come into this land. And the last time that anybody of this family had seen it was his great-grandfather, Abraham. And everything had to be new to him. Here he is. He's probably, he could be 18 by now. He was 17 when he was sold, however long his birthday was or whatever. He could have been 18, so he's a young man. I remember when I was where I was at 18, and everything was new. You look at everything, and there's new people and different languages. There's different people in this caravan, and he's seeing things he's never seen, and now he's going into Egypt with this great big group, and he has to go through customs, and now he's going into a town, and something he'd never seen before. He'd never seen pyramids. Obviously, they're out there, and he's looking at those things, so everything is new. And so the Ishmaelites, these people, they bring him into a slave auction. And obviously there was probably all different kinds of people there. And so he's watching all this stuff, and people are buying and selling people. And here's Joseph, he's up there, and people are gonna come, and they're gonna look at him like they're buying an animal. They're going to check his teeth. They're going to check his feet. They're going to check everything about him, make sure he's healthy. And so Potiphar buys him. Now, Potiphar, his name, dedicated to Ra. Ra is the sun god, and that's what Potiphar means. And so after the auction block, he's sold, and he goes to the home of Potiphar, and it's got to be fearful, but yet so interesting to a young man. And so he's brought into this home from all the activity and whatnot. Now he comes in, he meets the people that are obviously their servants or probably slaves, and he gets to meet them. And so you kind of got to think about all this stuff that Joseph is going through until he gets settled in. And then he's shown his duties and what he's going to do. And there's one thing about Joseph that you're going to see. Whatever he does, he's going to do well. And not because he's Joseph and he's going to do well. It's he made up his mind. He made his mind up that he was going to do well. Let me tell you something. That makes a huge difference. And the reason I say that is that really our attitude can be just about everything. I was a young man. I fought anything that had any kind of authority. I tried to fight them all until I realized, what am I doing? I'm just making myself miserable. So I decided, I says, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to get along, and I'm going to do the best job I can. And you know something? I actually enjoyed myself. I didn't have anything to worry about when you do this. So Joseph, he is a believer in the living God. He's a believer of Jehovah. And we see here in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. That word Lord, all those capital letters, they mean Jehovah, which is the national name of God in Israel. And so Joseph is a believer in practice. You get it? He's a believer in practice. In other words, we can be a believer and not practice it. In other words, we can be a believer and not live like we believe. I know that none of you do that. We all behave and have attitudes as believers. And we all do the best we can for our Lord. I know we do that, so I guess I'm preaching to the choir. So, it also gives the idea of this practice. It means fitness through regular exercise. I know some of you are like, regular exercise? Are you out of your mind? I don't want a regular exercise. Well, you know what's always good for us. So, what we're saying here is to practice is to be fit spiritually through regular exercise and practice in our belief of the living God. So, you know, if we believe something, I mean, if we really believe something, it will show whatever's going on in here will come out here. What you really believe, it will. And let me say this. We need to do this when things are good. We need to practice or be fit spiritually when things go well. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the crisis is going to come. It always does. Have you ever found out when things are going really good, something happens and it's not going good? And so when we do go into crisis, how are we going to deal with this if we don't practice it when things are going well? You see what I'm saying? See, many times when things are going well, we kind of forget about God. This is our nature. This is who we are. And say, well, I'm not like that. Well, yeah, I think we all are. Because there's so much talk about it. In Scripture, there's so much talk about it. When things are going good, we don't need God and to worship as much as we do until those crises come. And then we're trying to figure out how are we going to get through this crisis. Well, this is when things get really hard if we're not practicing it when things are going well. Because the crisis is going to come. The grace of God never fails, right? But how often do we fail His grace? How often do we fail the grace of God? God has shown such mercy and graciousness to us, and we don't give it attention until we need something from Him. So, what I say is for a Christian, concentration is more important than consecration. Let me say that again. Concentration is more important than consecration. In other words, if we would concentrate on the person of Jesus Christ, the living God, if we would give attention to Him and concentrate. You know what concentrate means? You got to think. You know, I know sometimes, you know, people, they start thinking about stuff and they get a cramp. You know, it could be in their leg, it could be between their ears, but we think we get cramped up. But the more that you exercise it, the less cramping you will experience. Amen. 4. Those that who strive for excellence in righteousness is one whose inner intention, again, will be revealed in the outer intention. Guard well the central institutions ordained by God. In other words, whatever God has ordained, guard those things because they're precious. You guard them from outside influence to come in and to just jack that stuff up. Because let me tell you, the devil's going to do whatever he can to try to get your thinking derailed. He will. And he's going to get your attention on other things, which he is going to say is more important than God. What's more important than God? Are you kidding me? You know, if we have a relationship with God and we have Him first, priorities will start getting better. But when we have when we get full of ourselves, we get in trouble. In other words, when we think that we're in charge, we find out we're not in charge. I made a huge mistake some years ago, and I told a guy I was in charge. I even thumped my chest. I put it out there and I thumped it with my fist. I says, I'm in charge. You know what I was in charge of? Trying to hold my water. Because that man jumped all over me and yelled at me and told me I was in charge of nothing. And you know something? At that time, if I could just hold my body together, I figured I was in charge of that, and that was about it. So guard those central institutions. And we must maintain a spiritual reality wherever we are placed. We're placed by the engineering of our circumstances by God. And if one wasn't a believer, Joseph's situation will look incredibly grim and probably lead to anger and bitterness and very possibly revenge. Now, there's probably nobody in here that doesn't know the end of the story. All right. We all know the end of the story. So sometimes when you're talking about this, you got to understand Joseph doesn't know. All he knows is he's a slave in Potiphar's house. He was sold by his big brothers. Sold by his big brothers. You say, well, yeah, he was a little snitch. That doesn't make it right. You know, to sell your brother? That's as good as murder. And they were going to kill him, but, you know, God saw fit to have him sold. And now he's in a place where he really shouldn't be, but, you know, he's exactly where God wants him. All the circumstances have led to Potiphar's house, and he's exactly where God wants him to be. And you think, is there not a different way? There could be, but this is what it's going to take for Joseph. Listen, Joseph is in God's school of learning a spiritual walk. And these are the kind of things in which he does in our lives, because you're going to see through this chapter, seven times, you're going to see that God is with Joseph. Seven times. What is the number seven? It's God's number. God is with Joseph. He says that. He said it twice in verse 2. So, let's go on. We're going to look at God's equation. God brings this equation into this school. In other words, he brings a problem. And now it's up to us to work through this problem, right? You're in God's school, and now we got to work through this problem, all right? And look at verse 1. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down through. So here's a man dedicated to Ra, a pure pagan of the king's guard. So he has something there. And there's something that stands out to him in the slave market. And so he goes on, look in verse 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. It just says once in there that he was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. There it is again. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. There it is again. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. Joseph served Potiphar's house, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. There it is again. He keeps saying, the Lord is with Joseph, the Lord is with Joseph, the Lord is with Joseph, the Lord. And God is with him, and yet he's a slave. He is not his own. He is owned by somebody else. He is owned by a pagan. And now he's in this house, and now he's going about, but I want you to look at this. Look and see what this says. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord Jehovah was with him. In other words, obviously, he knew of the Lord Jehovah. Obviously, somewhere along the line, Joseph said that he was a believer in the living God, and his name is Jehovah. He is my God. I have one God. Jehovah is his name. Now, did they know of Jehovah? I don't know. But they do now. Right? They know him now. And so he's watching him. He's going, you know, there's something different about this guy. Everything he does well. You know, he's yes sir, no sir. He's going about his business. He's minding his own business. Whatever he does really well. So now, here's a guy who, as a captain of the guard for Pharaoh. Now, here's what these guys do. They handpick soldiers. They goes out and he tries to find the best he can get. So he's a good judgment of character. And so he picks Joseph. But man, he's saying, this guy, man, he is a ringer. He is a ringer. And he says, I don't, you know, whatever he paid for him, he says, I got a deal. This guy is awesome. So he starts giving him a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. Then he gives him something that's probably a little bit harder, and he finds out that everything he's doing, he says, God's blessing him. His God is blessing him. So why not give him more and more and more? And it says that his house was blessed because of Joseph, and that Potiphar knew it. He says, man, I don't want to get rid of this guy. This guy is great. Even my crops are growing better. Right? My crops are doing great because of Joseph. Because the Lord blesses him. Now let me tell you something, Christian. Wherever you work, wherever you do, whatever thing you are into, whatever you do, people should say that God is with them. And God is blessing to the point that, man, I'm getting the benefits of just having Him there. And you know something? They'll start putting things into your hand that maybe you never thought that you'd be in charge of. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 20 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Right? Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evil doers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be ye subject to your masters with all fear. In other words, revere him. Show him some respect. And not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward and the perverse. Or the froward means perverse and crooked. Those people that are just, why should I serve them? They're nasty. No, it says serve them well. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. In other words, it's going to be through the good and the bad. Now, I've had to work for guys that were just jerks. That's all I can think of. They were nasty. They were jerks. They weren't, none of their jokes were funny. They would talk down to you and say, man, I don't have to take this stuff. No, you do. Take it and do well. You know, I've had guys that were, you worked for, man, they were hard to work for. They expected a lot from you. But every day they expected a lot from you. And I prefer that myself, to tell you the truth. You know, I prefer that. But through it all, let me tell you something. They're watching. These guys watch. And even if they're just vile, do your job and do it the best you can. All right? That's what we've been called to do. And I don't care who's in the White House. You don't sit here and cuss them out. You don't do it. serve it well. You know, because it all comes down to is God's going to take care of us anyway, no matter what anybody else is going to do, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And many times, do you ever get yourself in trouble? Ever get yourself in a situation that you go like, why did I do that? What was I thinking? You know, I remember in high school, I should have done better. Amen? Oh, I was a knothead. I thought I was smarter than them. I found out that I wasn't. Almost teachers, they're all smarter than me. You know, every one of them. And, I found out that, they wanted me to do my best. You know? Have you ever heard this? Oh, I used to hear it all the time. Anchor, you have great potential. They said that to the day I graduated. You know, you got so much potential, but it's like a battery. You ever seen a battery? If it's not used, what happens to it? It goes bad. And man, I was going bad till I realized that this is my fault. I got to turn it around. Amen? I mean, who else is going to turn it around for you? Nobody. You know? And so, what do? You practice. You practice. So, did Joseph deserve what has been happening? Of course not. Does it change the situation? Of course not. So make it the best of everything. Practice your Christianity. It's called the crucified life, right? Die to self. And say, well, I don't like them telling me what to do. They're a bunch of this, that, and the other. Well, maybe they are, but just do what you're supposed to do. Get over it, you know. Move on. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. God never said it was going to be easy. You know, the Lord never said. In fact, if you ever read in Scripture, He says your Christianity is going to be hard. This is going to be tough. Now, the gospel message is very simple. Little kids get it, right? Little kids get it. And they get it more than we do. They understand it better than we do, right? Now us, we're so smart, you know. We're so smart. We're so smart that we make so much trouble for ourselves because of our own attitude. Our own attitude. Is it easy? No, but it's not impossible. Do your best for all concerned. Why do a half-baked job that you'll have to do over again anyway? Do it right. Oh, how many times have I heard that one? Do it right the first time. It's like taking out the garbage and half the garbage is around the thing, you know. My parents would say, go out and pick that stuff up and put it in the trash can. You know. Can I burn it? Yes, you can burn it. I was off. If I could burn something, I'd burn everything in sight. Right? That's when we could burn. Right, brother? Man, you took care of all that trash. Yeah. Anyway, look in verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. In other words, he said Jehovah's with him. Jehovah's with him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Whatever Joseph does, God blesses it. Jehovah blesses it. So here is, he's talking about it now. People, you know, the people in Egypt, they were shackled to superstition. And they had about 2,000 gods and goddesses. You know, like Osiris. That was the God that would judge you. As a matter of fact, the Egyptians, they saw as much about life as they did with death. Now the Egyptians, they mastered mummification. They mastered preserving the body. It wasn't until the last decade or two they figured out how they did it because it was ingenious. But so Joseph is in this house. But it says here in verse 5, and it came to pass from the time He had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So Joseph and that house prospered. Psalm 1, verse 3, we can go through the whole thing, but verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." See, it's God who's prospering us. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 says, "And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." In other words, man, if you're taken off as a captive or something, pray for that town. God says, now listen, get over yourself, pray for the town. "But Lord, I'm a captive, it doesn't work." And you pray for the town. "I got a peace." We'll start praying for God to bless the town, and you will have peace. And you know something? People start finding out that peace came from God in whom you are praying for. It shows. It comes out. So it's God's school. But in God's equation, these problems before us, we got to work through them, okay? Number two, you see the world's answers to God's equation, which... it never matters. It always happens. It never fails. When things are going really good, somebody throws a monkey wrench in. Never fails. Things are going smooth. Man, the house is being blessed. And verse 7, it says, "And it came to pass after these things," in other words, that everything is going so good. I mean, they are just humming. "That his master's wife," oh good grief, "cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar?" Doesn't say Potiphar. He says God. He says, I can't sin against God. Listen, your husband trusted me. That's your husband. The only thing he kept back was you. Okay. And I can't do this. It would be a sin against my God. Listen, there's something greater than us, lady. Mrs. Potiphar, I can't do it because of my God. I couldn't do that. And it goes on. "And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth." And there is no... you know what I'm going to say. It's amazing. The entire house, things are going good. And everybody knows this. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." It says, also makes a way to escape. In other words, when these things come in, we have a way to go. We can get out of them. If it means that you've got to run, run. Get out of there. Someone latches on to you and you shouldn't be there, get out. And that which is most difficult for a young man, which he's a young man, he's probably pretty good looking. He probably got his mother's looks. His mother was beautiful. And Potiphar's wife makes the way very easy. But his comment, he says, man, I can't do this. I can't sin against my God. Proverbs 27:13 says, a continual dropping is a very rainy day, and a contentious or a quarreling, strife-ridden, discord-making woman are alike. In other words, it's like this. Boop. 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 And it goes on and on and on. Boop. 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 Day after day after day after hour after hour after minute after minute after, I mean, let me tell you, it will grind granite away. Are you kidding me? Somebody that comes up and it's just, I want to do this and I want to do this and I want you to do this. I want to da 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 da. Finally go, fine, let's do it. Right? Now I know that never happened. None of you are even saying a word. I don't know that. I mean, that's never happened in my house. No, I wouldn't say it either. Day by day, hour after hour, time and again. Oh my goodness. You know, people just cannot help themselves, can they? They just can't help themselves. Now watch, look in verse 11 again. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house. Now I'm thinking that what she did was she had all these guys to go out. You know, all the servants. Hey, I want you to go do this, and I want you to go get that, and I want you to go take care of this. And I can see her just emptying that house out of all the men, right? Now here comes Joseph. Joseph comes. Have you ever been busy? And what you do is, you know, you got something in your hand and you gotta go do something and you gotta go do it and you're not thinking, but about the only thing, see, this is about guys. Guys are kinda like this, right? Now some guys are multitaskers. My wife is a multitasker. But me, it's just what's in front of me. If it's just about this hanky, then it's all about this hanky. But boy, once my attention is like, I forget about this hanky. Right? That's a guy. But that's how God made him. Now some of you, you know, can be multitaskers. I just, whatever was in front of me, that's the only thing I can do. That's the only thing I can do today. And he's going about his business and he goes, here he is. Here she is. Here he comes. Here he is. Verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the man of her house, spake unto them, saying, see, he, my husband, Potiphar hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice, but you guys weren't here. And it came to pass when he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her, until his Lord came home, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. You get it? And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. See, look what she's a manipulator. The first thing she says to the men, now fellas, do you see what my husband did? When you were gone, this guy came and He came to mock us. In other words, what she's doing is she's putting herself on the same level as the servants. See? That's how you get people in. He goes, you know, it's this whole thing is just with us. They're mocking us. They're messing with us. No. He had nothing to do with that. Now, you got to remember, these people aren't dumb. They know what goes on. They see it. They hear it. They know who Joseph is. Potiphar knows who he is. And so then here comes Potiphar. He comes home and she does the same thing that Eve does, or Adam does. It's the woman thou gave me, Lord. In other words, he doesn't blame Eve, and she doesn't blame Joseph. He blames him. That's the way it goes. He says, you're the one who brought that guy in here, and you're the one that made this thing happen. It's your fault. And he's mocked me. I'm your wife. Mock me. And see, now it's all this manipulation, all this nonsense. Isn't it amazing? Like, it's, you know, the coat of many colors his brothers had. Put it in the blood. Now here's his Potiphar's wife. Now she has this, and both of them are used to convict him or to say that he's gone or for whatever reason. And that Hebrew wasn't there to mock anybody. He was there because he was sold into slavery. Look in verse 19, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Let me read verse 20 and I'll explain some of this, what I think. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Now, you notice that it says that Potiphar, his wrath was kindled, but it does not say to who. It doesn't say who he's mad at. He is just angry. Now, I believe, here's a man, he's a warrior. They didn't look at life like we do. Slaves were looked at, they just put him to death. But what did he do? Well, it's because of God's grace. Yes, it is. But it's also a thing that he says, I'm thinking to myself, he can't see that. You know, Joseph has been what he is. I just don't see him doing that. You know, so he has to do something, and he's angry that he's got to do it. Now, he could have just, come out here. We're just going to separate your head from your shoulders. Would have been a lot easier. But what he did was he took him to the prison. He says, put him in the dungeon with the rest of the political prisoners. Put him down there. And I think that he was just, you know, getting him away from his wife. Just to smooth things over in the home. Now, that's my opinion, okay? But it doesn't say, we assume that he was mad at Joseph, but it doesn't say that, does it? It's just that his wrath was kindled. And I think he's just mad over the whole situation. Yeah. So, let me tell you something. Character. Listen, in this world, character means a lot. And when you're in God's school, you're going to have an equation that you're going to have to work through. The world has their own answer. They lie and they cheat and they manipulate. But listen, you stay right before God. And you know something? Even if things look worse, God is still with you. Now look at the results of this thing. Look in verse 21. Look what it said. What is the first line there? But the Lord was with Joseph. And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I mean, I don't think he was there long as they met. I bet you there was a word spoken. He goes, this is a good guy. Keep your eye on him. You know, I don't know if he should be down there, but he's sure not going to talk about what happened. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. In other words, he noticed it too. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He recognized that Jehovah prospered everything that Joseph did. Because in prison, they still have to work. They got to do things. You just don't. You see these things, they put the shackles on them and they waste away. No, they had them working and doing all kinds of things. And what was happening? God was blessing the whole thing. 6, 7 times, God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. 7 times, the Lord was with him. And it doesn't, this is what I'm trying to say. He goes from slavery in a house, and now he's a prisoner in a dungeon, and yet God was with him and blessed him. You know, what I'm saying is, through God's school, let God take care of what He's got to take care of, and you just do right by God. That's it. The whole chapter is do right by God. And what He'll do His part. You just show some character, some honesty, some veracity. Show some good character, you know. Don't stoop to this world. Don't do it. God has saved us. He's made it. We're better than that. Because we have God behind us. We have God in front of us. We have God on each side of us. We have God above us. We have God below us. And we have God within. Let's do right by God, and God will take care of the rest. That is how you do it. Is there work to it? Oh, a lot of hard work. I mean, there is a lot of hard work. You know? Lots of hard work. But it's okay. Because God will bless it. And the world sees who God is in your activities and through who you are. And so when you are in, listen, brother and sister in Christ, you are in God's school no matter where you're at. And you've got to work through this because people are watching you. People want. They need honesty. I guarantee you there's people out there today, and some of you, now, you're the boss. You got some knuckleheads out there that just won't work. You can't trust them. You can't trust anything they do. Did they do it? And they lie to you. You know. They lie to you. You don't expect what you don't inspect. You got to go check behind them. But you know, with a guy like Joseph, you didn't have to. If he said it was done, it was probably better than what you could do. Why? Because he was a child of the living God. And you're in school. God is going to get you through it. If you just do what's right, do good. That's all. And say, but I want to have fun. You can enjoy yourself in the midst of anything that you do. See, that's the key. You know the reason that you're miserable? You can say, well, it's all their fault. No, it isn't. It's yours. I found out I work for some of the worst guys in the world. And I still enjoyed myself. Because I can't change them, but I can sure change me. Can't you? And God is going to be here to help you through it. He'll bless it. And let me say this. There was a time in my life that there were some people against me. Okay? And I decided not to do anything about it. Just let her go. And I will tell you right now, God worked everything out. Better than I ever expected. Better than I could have ever dreamed. You do what you're supposed to do. Let God work out the rest. I guarantee you, He's going to show Himself in your life, and you'll think to yourself, how is it I tried to do it another way? When He was there, just wanted to do it for you. And He'll show Himself alive and true. Amen?